I always find it interesting when people come up with different ways to solve a problem, when they start thinking outside of the box. So for instance, let's say the baby starts crying and it needs its bottle, but you've got a lot of things to do. So how can you handle that? Well, this is how one dad handled it. Now, I don't know for sure that it was a dad. I just found the picture, but I think it's a fair bet that it was a male part of the population who came up with this one, all right? Let's say you're in the kitchen. You're trying to fix dinner, right? And you got to slice up some onion, right? But you hate the smell of it on your fingers. No problem. Here's the solution for you, right? Thinking outside of the box. How about the age-old problem with the Oreo? I mean, the Oreo, it's problematic because you have to eat it with milk, right? But the problem is when you try and dip it, then your fingers get in the milk. No problem. Solution found. One last one. There's been a lot of talk lately and a lot of research that smartphones and tablets and all that they're bad for you. In fact, people are getting like a crick in the neck because they're always looking down. This young man found the solution. Unorthodox, out of the box. There's just a different method to solving the problem. We've been talking about the miracles of Christmas, and today we're going to talk about God's methodology, God's way of doing things. And he oftentimes is thinking outside of the box, sometimes unorthodox, but most times miraculously. So this morning, we want to focus in on the miracle of the method. God's method. Well, first thing about God's method, God's methods, they transcend us. They're above us. We really can't comprehend the way that God operates and the way God gets things done. It simply transcends us. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church at Rome, he tried to get that across. Let's dig into this because he packs a lot into just a few words. We start at verse 33. He says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God." Can you just hear it in the inflection? Oh, the depth, like I can't imagine. And the richness, right? Of both the knowledge and the wisdom of God. So God is all-knowing. He's got all the facts and all the figures, but he's also all-wise, which means he knows what to do with all that information. Oh, the depth, the riches of his knowledge and his wisdom. But then he goes on. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. His judgments, his method, his decision-making tree, right? All that, it's unsearchable because we can't even comprehend it. We can't imagine it. And then he says, and how inscrutable his ways. Now, first of all, isn't that a fun word? Inscrutable. I've got to figure out how to work that into a conversation. But at any rate, how inscrutable his ways. In other words, it has this nuance of a mystery to it, that it's beyond us, but there's a little bit of a mystery to God's way of doing things. Right? And then St. Paul does something which I think is really cool, because then he quotes first Isaiah and then Job, both guys who have experience with not really understanding God's ways. First of all, Isaiah, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?" Well, Isaiah, the things that God revealed to him, how could he possibly understand them? "A virgin shall conceive and bear a child. Emmanuel, God will be with us," right? We understand it, right? Because we've witnessed it throughout time. But Isaiah, he wouldn't fully comprehend all that because God's ways, they're above his way. And then how about Job? Job says, he says, "Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid?" I mean, how silly is really what that is. How could you ever repay God for all that he's done and the way that he thinks? Now, Job, now there's a guy, more went wrong in his life in 1 hour than went wrong for 100 people in a lifetime. There's no way that he could understand all the events in his life because God's ways, God's way of thinking, they transcend us. Is it any wonder then that Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I'm a virgin?" This is how you're choosing God to bring your son into the world? He's just thinking differently. His ways are not our ways, right? He's too far above us. Let's go back to the prophet Isaiah because God here tells us that very thing. God is speaking. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's saying, yeah, you're not going to get it. He's working at a different level. He's working with more information. That God's way of doing things and God's thinking is completely foreign to us. Right? It's evidence in God's plan of salvation. I mean, just take a look at God's plan of salvation. So God's solution to us breaking our relationship with Him. Remember, we broke the relationship. We can trace it all the way back to Adam and Eve, right? And everyone since then, right, has broke the relationship with God. God's solution to that, God's going to come down and become one of us. What? I'd choose something different than that if I was God. Here's the God of the universe, all-powerful, and He's going to become one of His own creation. And yet, by God doing that, He demonstrates in a powerful way the almost incomprehensible love that He has for us. That God would come and be part of us, I mean, that's amazing. It's astonishing. It's inscrutable. Right? It's all over the Christmas story. Mary and Joseph, what? They're not nobility. That's whose house Jesus will grow up in. He's born in Bethlehem, not in the capital city of Jerusalem. He's born in a barn, not in a palace someplace. You can just keep going all the way through Jesus' life and ministry. It's not the way that you or I would have scripted or wrote it. In fact, fast forward 33 years later. 33 years later, Jesus is at his peak in his ministry. He has got a movement behind him. People are listening to him. He's preaching the kingdom of God. And just at that moment, he dies. What? The hero dies? We wouldn't write the story that way. Now, you and I know that through his death, he gives us life. Through his death, he paid the price for our sin. The disciples didn't know that. All of a sudden, their hero is dead. But wait, vindication. 3 days later, he comes out of the grave. Now, this is how I would have scripted it, of Jesus coming out of the grave. It's early on that Easter morning. He blows apart the rock in front of the grave. The soldiers run in fear. He marches straight down to Jerusalem amidst gasps of awe and then applause that he's back alive. And he marches straight into the temple to the religious leaders who had condemned him and goes, "Ha, take that." You're probably aware he didn't do that. God's method. Jesus comes out of the grave, reveals himself first to the women, then to the disciples and his followers. These are the folks that would take the message out to the world. God's methods, they transcend us. But God's methods include us. That's the miracle of the method, is that God includes us, just ordinary people. Ordinary people like Mary and Joseph. Mary says, "Who am I that I should give birth to the Son of God?" Right? Joseph is just a carpenter in Nazareth. No one else even knew that he existed. But God chose them, just ordinary people, to do extraordinary things. I suppose it shouldn't surprise us, because God has a long history of using just ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. How about Abraham? Abraham is going to be the father of the nation. And yet at 100 years old is the first time he and Sarah have a child. How about Joseph? Joseph basically is the spoiled kid of Jacob. But he ends up becoming the prince of Egypt and saving the nation. How about Moses? Technically, Moses is a murderer. But Moses is the one who takes them out of slavery and into the promised land. David was the youngest and smallest of all of his brothers. He was delegated to watch the sheep in the field. He becomes the mighty king of Israel. How about Jesus' disciples? Well, let's see. We got a tax collector. We got fishermen. We got zealots. But that's how God operates. God operates with just ordinary people and accomplishing extraordinary things. That's his method. God uses ordinary people like you. Uses ordinary people like you. Now, I know some of you are saying, oh, I can't be me. No, I'm too young. No, I'm too old. No, I don't have anything really that I can contribute. Perfect. You're just the person God is looking for. You don't believe me? Let's take a look. St. Paul. St. Paul now writing to the church at Corinth. This is what he put. He says, for consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chooses. His method is to use just ordinary people to do extraordinary things so that you know that it's God who is at work. So God's methods, they include us. And then God's methods, they sanctify us. In other words, this is an opportunity for us to exercise our faith. This is an opportunity for us to step out and trust God. Because that's what he does when he includes us. He challenges us to trust him. God challenged Mary and Joseph to trust him, right? Mary said to the angel, how can this be? She didn't say, that can't be. No, she says, how can it be? I don't understand. But she ends by saying, I'm the Lord's servant. Okay. How about Joseph? Joseph, man, he's in a jam. He doesn't know what to do. So he falls asleep. An angel appears to him, says, hey, Joe, don't be afraid. Take Mary as your wife. What's inside of her is holy, right? And he is brave enough and he is obedient enough that he takes Mary as his wife. They trusted God, right? Now, that didn't go smoothly, right? They took a lot of ridicule. There was a lot of shame, a lot of humiliation. But because they trusted God, the Son of God grew up in their house. Think about that for a moment. The Son of God grew up in their home. Their Son would change all of the world. He would be the Savior of all people because they trusted in God and God used them in mighty ways. God challenges us too. He challenges us to step out in faith. And when we don't understand what he's doing, we don't quite get his methodology. And sometimes maybe it causes us pain, it causes hurt or heartache. But here's the thing, we're part of God's plan. We're part of God's method of advancing his kingdom so that all people would know of his love and the salvation that's found in his Son. You're part of it. I'm part of that. Right? God gives us a chance to trust him and to step out in faith. So here's the question for you this morning. What might God be challenging you to do this Christmas season? What might it be that he's laying on your heart? Is there a neighbor? Maybe there's a classmate. Maybe there's a coworker that really needs a friend. You notice that they're always alone. Nobody ever talks to them. Could that friend be you? Maybe there's a broken relationship. Someone that you haven't spoken to in weeks, months, years. Maybe you're the one to make the first move. Have some reconciliation. Has God put somebody on your heart that you just keep thinking about them? Maybe you need to invite them to the Christmas concert next week. That's easy. Maybe you need to invite them to youth group. That's even easier. Maybe you invite them to Christmas Eve. Is there someone that you need to forgive? To let go of the anger and the hurt and the resentment? What is God calling you to do this Christmas season? Right? I mean, God works in mysterious ways. That's because it's the miracle of the method. We see it all over the Christmas story. And if you look, you'll see it all over your life as well. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are humbled to think that we're part of your plan, that we're part of the method that you use. We are unworthy, but we are willing. By the power of your Holy Spirit, give us the courage and give us the faith
to step out and do whatever you're asking us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.